our home mortgage, as it were. And a huge part of that is our garden. Becca has a quadrant garden.
Okay. I have 4 sections to the garden that move every year to cut down on pests and disease. The first one you see here is the beans and the brassicas. Then past that is tomatoes, carrots, onions, peppers. And after that is sweet corn. And on the other side of the sweet corn is the potatoes. So, and there's all kinds of other things companion planted in those, but those are the main crops. And so I can about 500 quarts for the year. That's in addition to what's dehydrated and put in the fruit cellar and just ate throughout the summer. So a lot of our food comes from the garden and then the meats from the pasture.
In the orchard over here, she has this beautiful peach tree laden with peaches that need to be picked today. So tonight, so after you all leave, she's going to peach pick and can. So, but this is a huge part of our farm. Our house, we heat with wood. We have a very, 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 very low grocery bill, especially considering the number of mouths and growing mouths that we have in our family. And so, just a huge part of our farm. And it's definitely Becca's part of our farm. Just kind of moving on real quick. Out here are just a bunch of old sows. Some of them are going to farrow in a month and a half or so. Some of them are just going to get sausaged. But this is our winter lot for our hog, or for our cattle and our sheep. This is the winter lot, and so we bring the sows up here, some of the sows up here in the summer and let them kind of hang out up here. We do raise mostly Hereford hogs. Herefords were developed in Iowa in the early 20s and 30s. We farrow some of our own, but we also purchase feeder pigs. And so that we also then have some crossbred hogs that you might see out in the woods and things like that. Part of the reason that we did the Herefords is we like heritage and rare breeds on our farm. We have Dexter cattle, we have the Katahdin sheep, and the Hereford hogs, and so that kind of fits that. Also, I love Iowa. I've lived in Iowa my entire life. I don't really foresee myself at this point living anywhere else. I've been to other places. They're pretty. I like to come back here. It's prettier. And so so I love the fact that they're Iowa hogs. We actually go from time to time and get some stock from the grandson of one of the founders of the breed, the first breed president, and so that's really cool. That's up in Norway, Iowa, and so that's kind of how we landed on the Herefords. They're calm, they're easy going, they're good mothering pigs. They have 8 to 11 pig litters, maybe something we can improve on in the future. But all in all, we like them. The main reason we like them is they just taste great. They're not a lean hog. They're not a white meat. The Herefords never caught on in the 50s and 60s when pigs started coming inside buildings. The Herefords kind of just never picked up into that. When they got into three-way crosses and things like that, the Herefords were never part of that cross, so they never got, quote-unquote, improved. The genetics that you have out there today are pretty similar to the genetics that they had in 1928 and 29 when they were first founding the breed. The parental stock of Herefords, mostly Duroc and Poland China, with a little bit of Chester White in their foundation stock. But that's where they come from. And obviously, the whole goal was to have a Hereford cow looking pig, white face, white feet, that kind of thing. That constitutes a properly marked Hereford. A lot of times we get improperly marked breeding stock because it doesn't sell as well at the national shows and stuff like that, but it doesn't matter on the plate in the pork chop department. So yeah, we can kind of continue on here. So for these, we'll talk about this in a second here, but I feed mostly out of round bulk feeders. And I feed a non-GMO ration that we make here on the farm with non-GMO corn, a non-GMO soy grit that we get. It's an ADM product, Hubbard homestead feed, mineral, and then we, when I get up to my uncle's and bring a trailer full back, we also put some oats in the ration as well. We purchased this big grain bin. It's been a couple years ago now. Justin would like to see that get moved because he wants to unload some more corn on me. Right, Justin? Let's get it moved. Because one of our things that we're looking at in expanding our business is we're going to add on to the east end of this open face shed here, and in doing that, we're going to put like a workshop on one side, and then a bathroom slash office slash freezer room on the other side. And so then the grain bin's going to move down there, and we're just going to, it's just part of our efficiencies. We have 5 kids. Right now, we have a 10 by 20 space on the edge of the house that is our shop slash freezer room with no bathroom and no office. And so we're going to try to put that in there. But this grain bin, we can put about 1,800 to 1,900 bushels in it. It was a huge part of our move to non-GMO. If we didn't move to non-GMO grains, we probably wouldn't have it. We would just continue getting feed from the co-op. Just less equipment to break down when the co-op mixes the feed as opposed to when I mix the feed. So that's what we got going on there. This is kind of cool. This is the 4020, the first 4020 that my grandpa bought in 1968 or 9. It was the first 4020 that they bought on their farm up in Nevada. They traded in a Minneapolis Moline UB to get this. And so I'm the third generation of Books to farm with this tractor. So that's just as a history person, that's cool. But as a beginning farmer, that's cool because this is a hand-me-down tractor. My uncle was using it. He had another 4020 that the family had bought. My cousin down by Sheraton has another 4020 that the family bought. And so it's just a big deal for us to be able to have this and have a pretty consistent tractor, one that's been in the family. It's got 16,000 hours on it or so. It's been used a day or two, and with the loader on it, it is an integral part of our farm without a doubt. Behind it's our Minneapolis Moline M5. It's broken. That's why it's right there, because it's not moving. So this is a shed. We put hay in here. The back side of it is a loafing shed for the cattle in the winter. This coming winter, we're gonna have another extra 25 feet of lean-to off the back, we're probably going to divide it in the middle and do a little farrowing in this shed this winter, because we want to use the hoop house a little more just for our grower pigs in the winter. So that's the plan for that. As we look to expand, as long as everything goes all right, this is just a little training pen that I haven't locked the sows out of yet. But one of the things that we do is we train everything to electrical fence before we put them on electrical fence only. So they were in here when it was raining 5 and 6 inches. Well, they made a mud shed out of it. Let's just put it that way. All right, so let's walk this way. Yes, training them to electric. So our entire perimeter fence is electric. It is 7 wires alternating hot ground from the top to the bottom. Top wire is hot, and then the bottom wire, the bottom 2 wires are ground, actually, just because they'll ground out really easily in the grass and things like that. So in order to have that work with our pigs, we train them with a physical barrier on the outside and then this wire on the inside. That just keeps them from running through when they hit the wire. If I didn't have that physical barrier there, about 50% of the time when they hit the wire, they would just keep running straight through it. I know this because we brought a Tamworth sow home one day early on in our farming career, and I let her out of the trailer, and she walked up to the wire and hit it and squealed and ran through and lived for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks in our neighbor's yard, about half a mile down the road. They were very good about it. We were able to get her caught, but made some friends. Yeah, made some friends out of it. But that was a big deal where we learned that, yeah, you know, they'll feel the shock, but that doesn't necessarily mean they'll stop. So yeah. It just, yeah, this teaches them to reverse. The reason I walked you over here is because last Wednesday when we had the cheese group out here, our pigs come out to eat in the morning at about 6 and kind of stay out of the woods until about 8. But right now, it's going to be hard for me to get any pig to come out of the woods to come up and talk to you guys, because it's not 90 degrees out here, but it's like way cooler in the shade and in there. So these four pigs were Caleb's 4-H project this year. If you look closely, one of them will have a green tag in the right ear. That's the one he took to fair. That, Caleb, this is not a criticism of you, but that right there is the last place hog in Marion County. But we're going to say it was by far the best tasting. Our two older kids are in 4-H. Well, all the kids are in 4-H and Clover kids, but Hannah and Caleb were able to show this year for the Hannah for the first time and Caleb for the third time. And we just pretty much take animals from our farm, other than sheep, which we take from the Petersons farm. We don't do show animals on our farm. We look at 4-H as just a, you know, a learning opportunity for the kids and hopefully a money-making opportunity for the kids. I don't know if you guys are involved in 4-H now. There's nothing wrong with it, but the market hog division at a county fair doesn't have market hogs in it. Let's just put it that way. They're like bodybuilders, and it's a different thing. And that's evidenced by the fact that no packer usually wants to buy those pigs at the end of the fair. And so, like, I think they got 42 cents or 43 cents a pound for their hogs at the end of the fair, plus a premium. So, but we do take some wool sheep, because we don't grain feed any of our sheep, and they got to be, to show at the county fair, they got to be born in the year that of the fair. And so our sheep wouldn't make weight ever, or we're definitely not by July. So we take sheep, we take pigs, kids take rabbits, they take chickens. And, my proud father moment in this is that Caleb, his first year, won junior rabbit, champion junior rabbit showman. His second year, won champion intermediate showman. This year, going against high schoolers, won reserve champion intermediate rabbit showman. And poultry showman, junior poultry showman his first year, and intermediate reserve poultry showman this year, and Hannah won champion poultry showman junior. So they're learning about the animals. We're just not buying $100 chickens and showing $100 chickens. Our chickens were a little rough this year, to say the least. We didn't get kicked out, but some of those chickens had seen better days. So anyways, that's why I walked you past these pigs here. Those pigs, they're just waiting to get trained. They'll go back out on the pasture for a little bit, and then we didn't sell any of Caleb's pigs at the fair, because he can definitely make more money selling them to our customers. So that's that. Look, here's the sheep. Yeah. Look quickly, they're gonna run away. No, they're not gonna. That's fine. So, just real quickly on the sheep, they're pretty much, I like them, they're profitable, they're the bane of my existence when it comes to fences. I have a really great plan. We're going to see if it happens. If any of you guys have any pull at Premier One, give them a call and tell them it'd be a good idea. But with the podcast and the video thing, I want to have them tell me how to keep my sheep in with electric fence without killing them or without letting them just run through. Because we've used the netting and I've electrified it, and they have gotten in there and tried to strangle themselves. I've not had it electrified, and they've gotten in there and tried to strangle themselves. We've tried to create a flurred cattle herd and the sheep flock together. I mean, they live all winter together, And when we come out on pasture, the sheep just go off on their own. And so they're a work in progress. They're not a huge part of our business, so it's kind of almost an experimental thing. I would say 75% of the lamb meat that we produce goes into the meat CSA anyways. So it's just, really they're just a part of our meat CSA. They hang together, yes. They're really good flock. They're good mothers. I mean, we don't lose any. That many. There's about 40, 43 out there, about 18 ewes and the rest lambs. They're Katahdins, yeah. Hair sheep, so they shed except for the ones that have a little bit of wool left in their genetics. So we lamb in January and February. In the loafing shed there, in the red shed there. The reason that I do that initially was because we didn't take the ram away, so we lambed when they felt like it. But the reason I've continued it is because of our system. I would rather feed some high-quality hay to the ewes while the lambs are nursing in January and February and March, and then have the lambs on really high-quality grass throughout that time, and then finish them in the fall on that grass, as opposed to if I'm just not very confident in my genetics or my grass or my management, that if I lambed in March or April on pasture, that I would have them to the weight that I wanted them to be in October. So that's why we've kind of kept it in that January, February. We've actually gotten pretty good at it. We don't have too many losses, just a couple usually. And in that shed with the deep bedding, they do really well. So I've just kind of stuck with it. It seems to work for us. We put this, any other questions? Please ask questions. You should count how many people, roughly, make sure we have enough hot dogs. So, please ask questions as we move along, and I'll do my best to answer them. We put up this hoop house about 3 years ago. It is 72 by 30. It is made by those people down Southeast Iowa, that also make grain bins. What's it? Spantec. They make Conrad America grain bins. They make the Brower feeders and waters, Pride of the Farm feeders and waters. We built it mainly for our hogs in the winter. We've also hosted dinners in it and use it for a little bit of storage in the summer as well. It is half done. At best, because, like I said, we want to make sure that we aren't taking out loans. So my goal this summer is to put a platform, concrete platform, at the east end of it there, and with a feeding floor out front, and then automatic waterers on the inside of the building. And if we have enough money, we'll enclose this west end of it as well. But up until this point, what we've done is we just have gates across the back here, and then I've stacked round bales up, kind of pyramid-like, to add a little extra wind block through the winter. And then we just deep bed it. Ideally, I would like to have concrete in the whole thing. It would just make it easier to clean out. My loader bucket is not straight, so left side digs in a little deeper than the right side, which then I just make a mess in the hoop house, it seems like, whenever I try to clean it out. But that's concrete's expensive. So we're going to start off with the platform out front and the feeding floor out front. And then from there, the way we're going to design it is so that not only can the pigs go out to the feeding floor, but if the ground's frozen or the ground's dry, they'll be able to go out into a paddock out in front as well, to have as much room as possible. We basically use cornstalk bales in it that we get from Peterson's, our neighbors, and that works really well. I like it a lot. I'll like it a lot more when it's done, but I'm just adamant that we're not going to go into debt to finish it. So this is as nice as it is right now, and it's not very nice now that I look at it with a lot of people looking at it. It's kind of embarrassing. But as far as the pigs go for us, the hardest problems that I have here in southern Iowa in the winter and maybe I wouldn't have some of the same problems. I know that up on Highway 20 there between Waterloo and Dubuque, there's that Jude Becker, Becker Lane Organics. I know he farrows outside in huts all year long. He just puts, last time I drove by there, he had large square bales of straw on either side of a hut and an electric wire across the front. That's how he farrowed. I think I could get away with that if I lived in northern Iowa where the ground froze a little bit harder. But down here, you know, we'll go through a winter of freeze-thaw a lot, you know, and there'll be a lot of times in the winter that we've lived here where we don't have a solid frozen ground all winter long. And mud in the summer doesn't bother the pigs too much. Cold, like, you know, 0 degrees and hard frozen ground doesn't bother the pigs too much. But, like, 32, 33 degrees and muddy and rainy, it just kills them. It slows their growth down. They can't regulate their temperature. It's just not good. So this hoop house was our answer to that. Prior to that, we just didn't really have anything, honestly. We had some sheds, we had some huts, we had cornstalk bales just out in the middle of a lot. So this hoop house was our answer to that. It's still, like I said, a work in progress. But the pigs have lived in it for 2 years. The past 2 years, we have divided it down the middle, this lengthwise, and we've had sows on one side and growers on the other side. But now we're just at a point where we carry too many grower pigs over the winter. So that's why we're gonna have a different plan for the sows this coming winter, and it's just going to be all pigs, grower pigs in it in the winter, which will make it easier for watering and things like that. Up until this point, we just use an 8-foot water, 2-drink water, galvanized water with two de-icers in it, and that's our water. I have a collapsible hose. I have a hydrant right outside the front of it there, and I stand out there and I fill waters with a hose all winter long. It's not efficient, but it's cheaper than concrete for the first 2 years. So, yeah, questions. So, it's 72 by 30, I think. When I talked to Nyman Ranch, according to their specifications, if they stayed inside the whole time without that,